As a matter of fact, it is all about Jesus. I mean, if there's anything that I could get you to see tonight, and that I want to see for myself, is that it's about Him. If you go back and you look, and you'll find that the angel came to Mary and Joseph and said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." Luke chapter 2, when I read over there, and the Bible said when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus. If you find where in that Jacob read and that about the crucifixion, you find that Pilate wrote, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." If you read on over and that in the next chapter, you'll find that the angel said, "For you seek Jesus, who is not here, but He is risen." And if I could preach tonight, I would just want to preach about Jesus. Greatest friend I've ever had. Greatest person that this world has ever seen. And I can't in that explain it any more than that, that it's about Him. The Bible said right here in the book of Luke chapter 2, it said as the angel come out and said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And boy, I mean tonight, church, let me say that, first of all, can I say that's why He came? It's going to be a very simple message tonight, but I want you to understand that's why Christ Jesus and that came. He came to be the Savior of the world. You understand tonight that this world could not save itself. It still can't save itself. And it needs a Savior. And listen, as we celebrate Christmas and the world alike celebrates Christmas, and they think that it's about gifts, they think it's about getting, they think it's about stuff, and they miss the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen tonight, church, I'm glad that He came. As it said over here, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Listen, His name, and that the name of Jesus literally means Savior or Deliverer. Listen tonight, can I say that the world and that was steeped off into sin. The world was going into the way and that in the wages of death and falling off into hell. But because of the Lord Jesus, He is the Savior of this world tonight. But that's why He was born. Man needed a Savior, didn't they? Can I tell you tonight, you need a Savior. If you've never been saved, if you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you need a Savior tonight. You can't save yourself. The world out here thinks that they can save themselves, do enough good works, let the good outweigh the bad, or do the best that they can. And I'm going to tell you, man, all together is vanity. And the Bible said that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But man needed a Savior. Because he was a sinner. Can I tell you tonight, you and I both were born into sin. Romans chapter 3 said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It cut us off from God when Adam sinned. And that in the garden, it cut us off. But that man named Jesus came and took my place. I love that tonight. When I think, listen church, I'm going to be honest with you. Do I stay focused on Christ Jesus the Lord? No, I don't. A lot of times my mind and my life, and you get so caught up in the work and get so caught up in the world a lot of times that we simply forget that it's about Him. Can I tell you tonight, even living right, have you ever just seen somebody that is so bent on wanting to live right listen, that they forget why they're living right? Are we not to be living right simply to please Him? Because it's to please Him. It's all about Him tonight. Boy, I'm telling you, if we could ever see Him for who He is and how much love that He had for this world, love for me and you, that He was willing to come and die for our sin, for now, I believe that would change how we think about things tonight. I'm telling you, if we could see how much He loves sinners, I believe that was, I preached on that this morning, but I really believe it would change how much we really care for sinners. I tell you one thing that I have failed so much over the years, and that is to have care for sinners.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, they people dying and going to hell out there, and if somebody don't jump out in the way and tell them that they can get saved, you say, you can't make them get saved. You can't draw. I can't do those things. But friend, I sure enough can tell them what Jesus can do for them. And just every now and again, boy, the Holy Spirit will come by and smite their heart. And boy, it'll work on them. Amen. You may not get every sinner saved that you ever witnessed to, but friend, I'm going to tell you, you'll never get none saved until we jump up in front of them and say, let me tell you about Jesus and what He done. The one that we celebrate Christmas season all about, let me tell you about Him for just a little while. He did. They like to picture Him as that little baby in a manger over there. But boy, they sure don't like to picture Him as that one that went to Calvary, that was beat on and spit on and mocked at. Listen to me. I believe and said it one place that they plucked the beard out of His face and gnawed on Him and chewed on Him with their teeth. They literally hated Him. But yet He came anyway to be the Savior of the world. That's why He came. But can I tell you, that's what He did. He not only came to be the Savior of the world, but He is the Savior of the world. I mean, He went to Calvary. We, like I say, we like to think of Him at this time as being born as that little baby in a manger. And the Bible does give us those stories about Him being born in a manger or born in a stable and laid in a manger. But you know what? The Bible only gives us a few chapters of that. And the rest of it is about His life and what He done. Can I tell you today that He came because sin had to have a sacrifice. Listen, He knew, and I feel like I'm repeating this morning, but it'll be all right. He knew when He came what He was coming for. When He came, He knew He's going to have to face Calvary. I believe the prophet said over there at one point that He set His face like a flint and that to go to Calvary. He knew what He was coming to do, and that's what He done. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Can I tell you, at Calvary, it was a sacrificial death. Listen, is that song that Miss Trisha sung tonight, and that the first Christmas tree. The first Christmas tree, we look at it back here, and we see it. And listen, Rome was in the wholesale business of crucifying people. And the Bible told us in Isaiah chapter 53 that He was numbered with the transgressors. And He hung over there in open naked shame between two thieves, friend, that was guilty to be where they were. But listen, He was not only not guilty, He was innocent and had no reason to be there whatsoever. But yet on the world's first Christmas tree, there He hung as a sacrificial death. Not only was it a sacrificial death, and as you've heard me say many times, it was no surprise or it was no accident that He was crucified at Passover time. All the way, now think about that for just a second while we're here. Think about that all the way back where God brought the children of Israel and that up out of the land of Egypt and created the Passover over there. As they come up, I really believe that God seen Christ Jesus the Lord that day. Every sacrifice that was ever made, you see Jesus Christ in every one of them. Do you realize that? From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation chapter 22, how we see Him evident in every book through it. But He was our sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice. God always required blood. But then it was not only a sacrificial death, but it was a substitutionary death. He took my place. He took my place. Now, you know the funny thing about... I don't believe I could ever do that again. I had no glasses on the beat on top of that. But you know what? It was a substitutionary death, and the very fact that even if I could have died for myself, it wouldn't have been good enough. You couldn't die for yourself. I couldn't die for anybody, but you know what? He could, and He took my place. That excites me. When I begin to think about that. Now you're talking about a man that come with a plan. Bible said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the world, and which is Christ Jesus the Lord. And listen tonight, can you ever imagine that he knew what he came for? And it worked out just like God said it was going to work out. And he took my place and your place and died on the cross so that me and you could be saved. Bible said in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Was it not Gloria Gaither that wrote that old song, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. The angels proclaimed it over there that night that the Savior was going to be born. Gabriel proclaimed it to Mary and Joseph, said, you call him Jesus. They got down there and they named him Jesus in verse 21 of chapter 2. Pilate put his name upon a sign up above the cross and said, this is Jesus, King of the Jews, as he was dying. But can I tell you today that the Lord, in being the Savior of the world, you say, how was he the Savior of the world? You ever think about that? How was he the Savior of the world? You ever wonder about that? See, it was a spiritual thing, wasn't it? I mean, there was a God sitting in heaven. We looked at all this morning, but there's a God sitting in heaven, looked down, and he was pleased with what his Son done. And you know what? When Christ died at Calvary, he not only died for past sin and present sins, but he died for future sins. Because mine was still coming. Mine was still coming. I wasn't born yet when Christ died. Mine was still coming. And you know what Christ does today? He's still the Savior of the world, ain't he? You know what a lot of people put in hope in Washington, D.C. for? Because they're looking for a Savior. Do you know that I'm not looking for a Savior in our president tonight? I'm not looking for a Savior in our Congress. I'm not looking for a Savior in our judicial system. Now, I've got a Savior. Amen. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Do you know that he still saves men, women, boys, and girls today? Because what he done at Calvary almost 2,000 years ago is good enough. As a matter of fact, it's more than good enough. In Isaiah 53, the Bible said over there that the Lord was satisfied with what he done. Take your Bible and go to the book of Philippians tonight. Ain't going to be much longer. I want you to look with me in the book of Philippians. Talking about him still being the Savior. And boy, if you've never met him, you meet him tonight. That's a great thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He stands ready to meet whoever will come to him in honest and want to get saved tonight. You know, I remember the night that I got saved. And I don't know about you all. I don't know how it worked out for y'all. I really don't know. But I remember the night that I got saved, I wanted to get saved. I remember being lost, and I just remember, boy, all I want to do is just get saved. And I remember coming and begging God to save me. And boy, that's about the way it was. I mean, I just got down on that altar and just dancing, begging. I mean, just beg God to save me. I didn't know nothing else to do except just beg him to save me. And boy, I'm so glad he does that. But I want you to look in Philippians 2 tonight. He said in verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross, even the death of the cross. Now you see what he done. Now listen, if there was anybody in the whole world that could have ever had a reputation, ever could have said, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, look what I've made happen, it was Christ Jesus the Lord. If there's anybody that could say, look who I am, look at the power that I have, look at the abilities that I have, why don't you worship me and praise me for what I'm capable of and for what I can do. But listen, he made of himself no reputation. Listen, he could have come and set himself up as king. He could have come and made himself and that the ruler of the whole world. But the Bible said here in verse 7 that he took upon himself the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. See, that was no happenstance about Calvary. Bible said he became obedient unto death. That means there was a command that he had to perform to go to Calvary, wasn't it? If you've got to be obedient towards something, then that means there's a command for it. And do you realize it tonight that the Heavenly Father desired His very Son and that to go to Calvary? I cannot comprehend that tonight. I struggle with some of that stuff. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I sit in my study and I wonder, I look at this stuff and I said, I know I believe it. I know it's true. I've seen Him move. I've seen Him work. I've seen Him do all kinds of things. But man, to the world, it must really seem like a fairy tale. I mean, we're telling people that there was a little baby born of a virgin over there, and she laid him in a manger, and the angels come out of heaven and proclaimed his birth. And listen, and he went to county, done all these miracles, and he went and he died at Calvary, and he's the Son of God, and he arose. They put him in a tomb, and he arose on the third day and come out of it, and then ascended back to heaven. Man, if that don't sound like a fairy tale, I don't know what does. But boy, ain't you glad tonight. The greatest story ever told is a story about Christ Jesus the Lord. If there's ever a story that you need to tell your children and your grandchildren, it's the story of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, what He can do for them. Oh, how much He loves them tonight. But listen, look what else it said in the book of Philippians over here. The Bible said he became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Now you see, he became obedient. He was humble in verse 8. But then you find that in verse 9 that God highly exalted him. And looky right here, and given him a name which is above every name. The angel come in and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus. Pilate put his name Jesus on top of the sign over there. And the angel said, you see Jesus. Jesus. And then the Lord said right here that God hath given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of who? Jesus. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that who? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, if there's anything you get tonight, you get that it's about Him. He's the one that can save you. He's the one that can help you. He's the one that'll fit. I'm telling you, He can make it all right even when it ain't all right. He can make it all right. Listen, He don't always make the trouble go away. But boy, He'll be your friend through it all and lift you up. But He gave him a name that's higher than any name. Well, you get out there tonight and proclaim Jesus, and the world hates that name. But don't we love it tonight? Because He's the one that saved me.